Time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's roving, rambling, etc.-ing, intrepid, of course, reporter. Ruth, talk to us. What's going on out there?
Well, it's happy election day, folks. Polls are open today from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., and I understand the early voting has had a low turnout, so hopefully people are waiting and they will come and vote today. Polls are open in all the town halls. And this is a municipal election, just as important as any other.
Yeah, but I think because there's not really much of an election in most races, that's why you haven't seen in some cases, what's to vote for. I hate saying that because there should always be a choice on the ballot.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's what happens in the small towns. And I'm sure people says, what point does it? Because if I go in and vote, it doesn't matter.
Which is too bad.
Yes, it
really is.
Yeah.
I'm going to just add with it. The early voting in Sharon, because we see it, because we drive into that parking lot, it wasn't exactly setting the town alight with activity.
Mm. And yeah, I heard that in most towns.
No, and I'm not talking at all about the towns. I'm talking about shouldn't that at least be optional?
Amount
of money that it costs to do it is all on.
I saw somewhere where the Secretary of State said they're going to rethink some of this. Yeah,
okay.
What is it, 14 days they have?
Something like that.
And
but, for one, let me just say that if I were putting up a musical and I got two people in the audience every day, I would have to close for lack of interest. For example, this is just me, but it's watching it, the people who were monitoring, obviously, and who were there, probably didn't have a whole lot to do. And, it's their time, too.
Everybody there is being paid, so.
No, I understand. But that's, who are they being paid by?
By the town.
Mm-hmm. And what pays the money to the town?
Yeah, taxpayers. We know.
Taxpayers, yeah.
Mike, the only race really at the top is Canaan, I believe.
Yeah, really, mostly that.
All the others are unopposed. At
small
the top.
Race in Salisbury for the selectman seat.
It's for the selectman seat.
Yeah.
In Kent, it's for the selectman seat. But otherwise, I think it's pretty pro forma. So.
Yeah, because you've got all these people, Board of Finance, Board of Education, this board, that board, planning and zoning.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Most of those are just totally uncontested. So. Flatly, I blame the parties on this because the political parties just don't seem to want to put up candidates against anybody who's been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know, why would we? But there should always be a choice on the ballot because what good is voting if there's never a choice on the ballot?
Mm. So, and just, exactly.
But that's just my philosophy.
Well, not just your philosophy, but you are a participant, right, in one of the parties, so you gotta.
Not at this level.
Okay.
I'm at a steeper level, and I admit I'm not voting because it's just pointless.
No, I totally understand.
Hey, I don't understand that. I think you should. You have the privilege where so many countries don't have it. I would vote no matter what.
Okay.
Yep.
No, I understand that.
I can't understand people not voting.
In a lot of places, a lot of people do have the access to votes, and they do vote. And then what happens is their votes are invalidated.
Right.
3 days later, it just happened in Africa. Not in other words, my point is, I should remember where, but I don't. You went through all of the election process, not early voting, of course. Lots of people turn out, lots of this. Something like, let's just say that 80% of the people obviously voted for the other guy. And then, there's been a mistake and the strong man stays in. So it's not just the right to vote. It's how voting has been distorted over time. Is the point of voting? I'm coming down on Mike's. At this point, if your vote is not going to count, and sticking with the whatever country it was in Africa 3 days ago, someone can look it up, that paradigm. It was like, okay, so everyone comes out, they vote for who they want to vote for, and then they find out that, well, yeah, sorry, oh, there's an irregularity, and, oh.
Okay, I think
right,
we've beat this horse enough.
Yep, I still say get out and vote.
Yes, get out and vote. I concur, but yep. I just kind of, you know, it's just difficult.
I just
when,
think of all the people when, who, before us who fought so that people could vote.
Yeah, I know. But again, when you know the outcome before you walk in the booth, it's kind of like, yeah. So as it will be, that's where I'm at with it. I always vote in the bigger elections because there's always choices.
Okay, down here in Kent, we've had this ongoing problem with Motor Riot, as we've said. This is the, they sell Jeep or big Land Rover type cars, the old ones, and it's popular. This is where the they were parking, their employees were parking on the street because they didn't have enough space at their facility on Bridge Street, and it caused a ruckus because they were blocking driveways and mailboxes. So there's been a lot of controversy, and last week the Planning and Zoning Commission voted to order a cease and desist on the business unless they comply with the regulations, which say they have to park on their premises. So, interestingly enough, because I can see it almost from my house, the cars have not been parking on the street since then. And I did do an article and spoke with the owner, and he said they will comply. So we're all watching that very carefully down here. That's a biggie to issue a cease and desist order to a business.
Do they have a big lot to park in, or do one of these tiny lots?
They have a good-sized lot, but apparently, according to the owner, they inherited a tenant when they bought the building.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a landscaping company who has uses that parking lot as well, and with big, you know, pieces of equipment. And that's what his problem is, so he says. But when he applied, he had a site plan that said he's got enough room for everybody and his cars, or whatever you call them, large. So it's been going round and round. And the planning and zoning people were pretty adamant. They voted unanimous. Well, no, it was taken by consensus to order the cease and desist. They said, we've had enough. We've been fighting this for years, and it's time. So they took that step. So we'll be following that to see what happens, whether indeed he does comply, and or whether that they shut the business down. It will be interesting.
That'll make an interesting court case, because I've never heard of such a thing. You shut down the whole business.
If you don't comply with the...
Yeah, but I don't know where that authority would come from, in all honesty.
Well, you go to court, I guess.
Yeah, I mean...
Who has the... What is the law? You know, yes, it's a commission...
Well, I think if you don't comply with the... or violate the application, first you go to Zoning Board of Appeals.
Now, where's they're in the process of the application at this point?
No, the application has been approved.
Oh, been approved, okay.
Modified, and he's just not...
There's still parking in the space, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get that. The closing business, that goes into a whole new realm of things. You know, it's. I would think you would send out the police and have the cars towed out of the street, you know, which would be effective, I'm sure.
And we did. But, they did put a parking ban along this Elizabeth Street here, so
they
can't be towed.
Yeah. Well, that's the remedy to me. I think you.
Well, at this point,
cease and desist on the whole business is going to create a legal monster. So we'll see. That's
hopefully,
just,
he'll comply, and all this will. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it makes for interesting times.
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing where people want speed limits observed in town. They put cops out there with radars, and everybody starts to complain because the people that have complained about the speeders are the speeders.
So right.
Egremont the other day. South Egremont, is it? Egremont.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Lo and behold, you know, automatically I'm off the accelerator going, and right there in the middle of town, guess who's there?
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that one.
We used to know that, exactly.
We
for,
was all
for
pushing our cars.
For 30 years, we've known that one. It's like,
yeah.
Yep.
Everybody everybody does.
They just pass it down.
Well, it's effective if you do it on a consistent basis. And I've always thought that is your best opportunity to make traffic calming work. Mm-hmm. People get enough tickets.
No, it's going to be enforced, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be enforced, and then the word gets out because, you know, people way beyond Egremont know about this.
We all know that one.
This is like a national notice that's been put up.
Right. No, truly, if you live here long enough, you know that one.
But interestingly enough, the speed cameras, you know, went down here in Kent. But yeah, they're being talked about all over now.
Yeah, and there are also, you'll forgive me, articles on what do you do if you, you know, if you get a fine and you don't want to pay it.
Yeah, it's all questionable. And then, of course, the cameras, it's like we're being watched everywhere we go now. So
yeah.
Why
well,
not
that was,
right on the road, too?
That was the dilemma in Kent. People felt that they were being, you know, enough of Big Brother watching you. So,
but we were for the same people, we should add, in fairness, that are carrying their own personal tracking device wherever they go. So, like, you're already being watched.
True. Yep. We were up in Falls Village this weekend for the Cannonball Run. That's in memory of Ed McGuire. It's a, well, it's a 5K, but, yeah, I guess, interestingly enough, because they had all the tough storm the night before with the winds and everything else, the Route 7 was closed, and so and part of 126 was closed, so that detoured the route of the run. So they had to quickly change it around and go down through the high school rather than come up north. And but it went off without a hitch, and people just took it in their stride. Actually, they liked it better because it was a flatter course. There were, what did they say, something like 117 participants, and the winner was Silas Tripp, who was a senior at Housatonic, and he won this for the second time in a row. And always nice to see young locals out there doing their thing.
Outside without their phone.
Exactly.
Could you see them running in the thing with their phone on? I could see that sometimes.
Yeah.
Like people walking down the street and walking right out in front of you, but they're busy texting.
Texting. Oh, terrible.
Yeah, it's
you
a good...
go to New York, you get, forget the cars, you get run over by people who aren't watching.
That's right, yeah. Now, we had our power went out four times over the course of Saturday.
Yeah, they had, somebody told me a majority of the houses in Falls Village were without power. That we had, we were lucky we didn't have that. But
yeah, I think most of ours, because now Eversource sends you texts and everything else to tell you what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And most of all the ones we got, in fact, were all about trees in the wires in the road. And
yeah, well, I guess Route 7, I don't know, up above north of the village center there, it was closed. So it was. The winds were pretty strong.
Because I know going into Salisbury that morning, there was a tree laying on the power lines and everything, leaned right, it was just hanging over the road there, because apparently no one had gotten to it yet. As we were learning, there was a lot of that. So the tree trimming seems to not be working.
All of that tree trimming this summer. Yes, I mean, Music Mountain was, of course, interesting. But it went out at the station a couple of times as well. But Mike, didn't you have a tree the day before? You had a tree on Friday also on your way into Sharon.
Yeah. No,
or pole or something.
Been,
you know, it's been pretty.
Yeah, well, it was gusty on campus.
Okay. Now it was Friday morning coming. You know, somebody had crashed and broken the pole into there on the corner just by where our transmitter and tower are. And so they had everything blocked off there. It's, I don't know. Well, that corner's kind of sharp, but sometimes they don't understand how people crash like they do. But they do.
So, well, it was a good run. They earned, you know, for those who remember Ed, it's always memorable. It's a cannonball, sets it off, and all the proceeds go to the fire department because Ed was a crucial member of that department. It was very nice. So from there, I went to Cornwall, where they had an open house for an affordable house that's just about finished. This is part of that home ownership program that has seen through the Litchfield County Center for Housing Opportunity, in which affordable houses have been put up in four towns, including Salisbury, Norfolk, Washington, and Cornwall. So they had an open house in Cornwall to show off this house. These are priced through a special program, and they're priced through for people with median incomes lower than those in the area. This house will be selling for under $300,000. It's on a little over an acre of land. It's a lottery system, so there are two houses here, actually, and they have both been approved for occupancy. And a lovely house. Everybody came through, was very impressed. They're three-bedroom, two-bathroom, up and down, and it's... Now, these are two houses on Town Street, and the land was donated by Jenny Potter. They also are going to have two houses on Dark Entry, and these are the ones that are the same as Perry Street in Salisbury and Norfolk in Washington. So allowing people to stay in their towns and have an affordable house.
Do they have people that are already got dibs on it, or is
yeah,
it open?
Yeah. These two houses
gone.
Taken, the ones on Town Street. The ones on Dark Entry Road do not, so there's still availability. And this is done through the Cornwall Housing Corporation, working with the Center for Housing Opportunity. So anyone who is interested should contact the Housing Corporation in Cornwall.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask, through the contact.
I think Perry Street also, I think they're occupied, I believe. Are you?
I don't get down there. They should be by now, it seems.
I
don't know about the ones on...
list, a mile long, but is that... my understanding could be not correct.
I think this is also the Under Mountain Road one.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to bring up.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've been occupied yet or not, because they're...
Yeah, I think this is under the same program, I believe.
Yeah.
So, and, of course, the funding comes through the Department of Housing, through the state and other entities. Spoke with Norma DeMay this weekend. She is the longtime librarian at Douglas Library. She is retiring. She has actually retired in the last week or so. There's going to be a open house retirement party for her on November 16th at 2 o'clock at the library. And she talked about, it's a lovely little library. It's much smaller than the other libraries in the region, but it's a very cozy little place. And she talked about, the changes in libraries over her tenure, and can imagine with technology and everything else. And she is being replaced by, she has been replaced by Laura Moran, who has worked there at the library at times. So she is the new executive director, and people are urged to go and welcome Laura and talk to her about the changes she's going to be making. And speaking of libraries, the Salisbury Forum topic this month is on libraries. That is on Friday night at the Housatonic High School, when Anthony Marks, who is president of the New York Public Library, will be speaking on the library in changing times. Again, these Salisbury Forums, they get fabulous speakers, free. You can go, it's free to go and listen. Of course, they are looking for donations, but
for the forum or for the libraries?
For the forum, for Salisbury Forum.
Okay, just to say, we have been, and it started right after Mike. It started right after Marshall died. Sally, we do a show with the local librarians. How many? Eight of them? Six of them?
We've got eight.
You've got eight, And they, you know, have some pretty compelling programs and talk frequently about the, you know, what it's like in the library world.
Yeah, they're given, they work in groups of two. We give them a topic, and then they share back and forth with each other, because usually it's a partnership between one in New York State and one in Connecticut.
That's great.
We don't have any Massachusetts ones at this point, but it gives you a lot of insight into just exactly what you're talking about, and that's what makes, to me, this forum rather interesting.
Yeah, and
because the dynamics
like
of the...
You've got a little tiny Connecticut, and you got massive New York State.
And then the dynamics of libraries are changing...
Oh, tremendous.
Rapidly. And
there are no more libraries. They're media centers,
yeah,
really.
More so. And then, of course, they have all the different things, because everybody has an opinion on what book somebody else should read. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
But, of course, recently in Connecticut, they made a whole, they made rules and regulations on that makes it a little easier for libraries to deal with these kind of things. And hopefully that will quell some of the folks.
I've frequently found that those that are quelled, it just riles up the other, the side that isn't quelled gets riled up.
Well, you know, as it will be, but at least they have procedures now, and I think New York's just in the same position now of a defined procedure. You can't just go in and say, I don't want this book on the shelf. You have to go through a process now that they've given in policies until inevitably a decision is made at whatever given level it is. So, at least it makes their job a little easier.
So your program is two librarians?
Two librarians. Session? They talk about it. As a matter of fact, we just finished up a four-week set on them talking about banned books.
Oh, good.
And what they go through over this kind of thing, and, you know, where they've gotten help and assistance to now have, and especially Connecticut, New York's going to follow, have at least a defined path of how you go about filing paperwork and everything, and showing why these books should be taken off the shelves. And one of the requirements is you have to have read the book.
Yeah, well, that's a great idea.
Sure about it on the news. Yep.
And you have to be from the community that you are asking them to remove a book. You can't be from Canaan and ask Salisbury to remove a book. No, you have to be from Canaan if you're asking for a Canaan book.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, because it works both ways. The taking the books off shelves is a left issue and a right issue. Everybody's got something they don't want to see there.
You know, I have to say this. I asked the person who doles out the topics. You know, when she was growing up, what did, if she was told she couldn't read something, what did she do? And she said, I read it, of course. And I said, well, so did I. So let's also talk about giving people agency. Like, really, if you want to read something, you read it. End of story.
That's right.
If you want to watch. The best way to get some kids to read a book is to say, no, you can't.
Also effective. we're going to pull blah, blah, blah off the show. I have seen it work, you know.
Yep.
Don't eat that. It's really bad. No, do not eat that.
Right. Yep. Well, anyway, the forum is this weekend, Friday night, 7 o'clock.
Okay. And anything else? Because I think
I got one quick plug on it. It's called Between the Stacks, and it premieres each week on Friday morning in the 8 o'clock block, and then it's played over the weekend as well. So.
And our... People can going listen. Through a huge library renovation, so we're going to be...
Yes, you are. Yours is one of the librarians. She's been talking about this. She's going to be wearing hard hats and playing around with tools, so beware.
And what I think is also fascinating, you know, Sharon Hotchkiss just went through a huge, huge renovation.
Yep, they did.
So now we are moving, I'm not saying moving down to, but the Hotchkiss Library and the Kent Memorial Library, you know, are of have similar, not just programs, but speakers and so forth.
And we have our ongoing book sale, which is incredible, from May to October, every weekend. So that's a biggie. And just to remind people about the Wall of Honor ceremony this Sunday at Housatonic, again, high school, put on by the Alumni Association. We honored alumni who have made a mark, either locally or nationally or internationally. And as we said, our dear Marsha Miles is one of those who's going to be honored. So that's at noon at the high school.
All right. With that all said, Jill, you got it straight.
With that all said, this has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's wandering, roving, roaming, intrepid, etc. reporter on Robin Hood Radio.